Boker Tov World. Today's daf in Masechet Gittin, brought to you from Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh, is daf Chof Dalet, and we are holding at that Halakha Mishnah on the close to the bottom of daf Chof Gimel Amud Bet. Af anashim she'inan ne'emanot lomar mit ba'ala ne'emanot la'vi et gita. Now you remember that we had the whole sugya when we were talking about the dinim of a woman whose husband went overseas, and we made special takanas to avoid agunas, that we believe in eid echad that says that your husband died, and that was because of the chumra shechmarta aleha b'sofa, ekalta aleha b'trilata. Fine. In that case, we said there are some people that you cannot trust because they have a vested interest in destroying the life of this woman. And they may well mislead her into believing that her husband had died, which would make her perhaps marry someone else. And then her husband shows up, and then she'll have to get divorced from both of them. And there are women that are interested in achieving precisely that goal for this woman. And therefore, who knows, they may have made up the whole thing. So even those women are believed, in this case, to bring a get, surprisingly, and we're not chayish that they actually forged the get or something like that because of the fact that we do have the get here. It's not the same as just saying something. So the Mishnah is going to go through now who are those women that are considered to be so dangerous and so full of hatred and fear that they would do anything, even lie about the death of her husband in order to get rid of this woman's marriage. And who are they? Well, her mother-in-law, the daughter of her mother-in-law, her tzara, who's married to the same husband. Obviously, she wants to get rid of any competition. And yivimta. So these are two sister-in-laws, either of which can end up being married to the same guy if the other one's husband dies. And therefore, they would like very much to dissolve that marriage and get rid of this woman so that they don't end up being married together to the same guy. And Bat Bala, also her husband's daughter, and now there's a stepmother here, and usually there's a lot of psychological problems there, and they hate each other, and therefore she won't be trusted. But when it comes to the get, she can bring the get. Why is that? Ma ben get l'mita. Well, it's a difference because you have an actual document that you're holding, an Ktav Mochiach. Gemara will go into exactly what the Ktav Mochiach means, but the pashtus is that where a person is just talking, they can say anything. When they have to actually have a document to back up what they're saying, then what they're saying becomes much more reasonable for us to take seriously. So it's good to know that we have three actual humans on the screen. That's amazing. I want to just thank those human beings. Oh, look at this. Four. Five human beings. Six. Oh, my gosh. There are real people here. Oh, my heart begins to sing. Amazing. Okay. So, just imagine, Akiva, you might win another Oscar for this one. I mean, the family's collecting Oscars here, right? Okay, so the Ktav is Mochiach. Ha'isha atzma mevi'a et kita, u'bevad she'i tzricha lomar, b'fanai nechtav, b'fanai nechtav. A woman herself can bring her own get, and there's no problem with that, but we still have to have the overall takana on a shlichut that comes from chutz la'aretz, so she'd have to say b'fanai nechtav, b'fanai nechtav. All to be discussed in the Gemara. Asks the Gemara, but a Braita says exactly the opposite. A Braita says that in the same way that these women who hate each other are not believed to say mate ba'ala, so too are they not believed to bring a get. So I understand. I mean, you can't have a Braita saying exactly the opposite of a Mishnah. We must have alternative situations. What explains this? Rav Yosef Lokasha. Remember that we have two situations. If in the Mishnah we're talking about in Eretz Yisrael, then there's no need to trust her for anything because we have the actual document in our hands, which is the get. But if she's bringing this get from Chutz La'aretz, then we have to trust her. Because she has to say, b'fanai nechtav, b'fanai nechtam. And when it comes to trusting her, we don't trust her. And that's why we don't believe her. So the Braita was talking about a get that was coming from Chutz La'aretz, where she would have had to say, b'fanai nechtav, b'fanai nechtam. And since she is not believed in what she says about this woman whom she hates, so because of that, we don't believe her. So you're talking about within Eretz Yisrael, where we don't need her. We simply need to look at the document. So over there, even though she's, so to speak, a hostile witness, but so what? She's Mahana. But Bechutz La'aretz, where we have to believe her, the Adibur Didaka Samchinam, when she says, how can you believe a hostile witness? Lo Mahamna. I mean, I don't mean literally witness, obviously, but the idea over here is that we see that simple civil law recognizes a concept of somebody whose words are not meant to necessarily be trusted because of hostility. Normally I buy it, you know. I would have said exactly the opposite. Adarabha. I would have said Ibcha Mistabra. Let's not take a look at the issue of how much we're trusting her. Let's take a look at the underlying issue, namely, how likely is it that she is doing this in order to mess up the life of this woman that she hates? Now, that's the key, says Abaye. And therefore, it's exactly the opposite. In Eretz Yisrael, where you bring a get and you do not say, b'fanai nechtav, b'fanai nechtav, then the husband comes along and says, what the heck is this? I never wrote this get. So then if he is our heir, then we will listen to him. We will take up the ear in court, which will ruin her life. Masha Einkein, when you bring a get from Chutz La'aretz, remember that that was the whole point. Once you say b'fanai nechtav, b'fanai nechtam, then the Baal can no longer be our heir. That's the whole point. So then if she were coming and she would say b'fanai nechtav, b'fanai nechtam, she's not destroying the life of this woman. Adarabha, she's protecting her from any iru'ur of the Baal. So I would say, in that case, we don't have to worry about her hostility because she's not going to be able to do anything anyway. Mashain Kane in Eretz Yisrael, we're very worried, even though she's presenting us with a document, but because she's a hostile witness, we're worried that that document might be forged. And in the event that it is, then the husband is going to be able to go to court and to be our heir. So let's read it out. Omalei Abai, I would say, Ipcha Mistabra Ba'aretz, you're talking about an Eretz Yisrael, Diyati Ba'al Ma'ar Er, that since she does not have to say, B'fanai Nechta, B'fanai Nechta, if the Baal will come out and will challenge the get, then in fact, the court will take up the challenge, and Mashkechinan Bay. Di'ikala Me'emela Kekulakor Mechavne, so over there, it would make sense for us to be worried about her intent to destroy this woman's life. So then we are worried about it. So then we can't trust her. Lo mehem namashen ken in Chutz La'aretz, where the only way that she could bring a get is also by saying b'fanai nechtav or b'fanai nechtam. And therefore, once she says that, as we've said before at the whole beginning of the Masechet, the idea is that that prevents the Ir'ur HaBaal, and it's the equivalent, both according to Rabba and Rava, of the kiyum of the gate. So there, we wouldn't pay any attention to the Baal, would we? And therefore, lo mishkechina beis, so she should be trusted, because she's not going to be able to hurt this woman by saying this edus. Therefore, says Abaye, it's much more reasonable to look at it the other way. Now, obviously, as Tosis explains, this is not an absolutely winning argument as far as Rabbi Yosef is concerned, because it's true that in 90% of the cases where the Baal won't be able to prove that it's a forgery, that will just throw him out of court when he's sitting there yelling. Yeah, yelling doesn't mean anything if we have a get in front of us that is mekuyam. But what if the Baal actually brings witnesses that it's a forgery? You know, so even though that's not all that likely, but still, should we not, says Rabbi Yosef, should we not be choshesh even for such an eventuality? And that she's trying to mess her up big time. And she knows, perhaps, that there are indeed witnesses available. So, maybe. Anyway, Lamaisa, we have a braita that makes it pretty clear that we have to adopt Abaye's pshat. And that If the woman is going to say b'fanai nechtam, b'fanai nechtam, then we do believe her. If she doesn't have to say b'fanai nechtam in Eretz Yisrael, then we don't believe her because of the fact that she's leaving open challenges to the get for this co-wife, let's say, that she wants to get rid of, or whatever the case is, her daughter-in-law that she wants to get rid of. So, Tani Kavasi Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer, Mishum Rabbi Akiva, Isha ne'emenet lavigita mikal v'chomer. We know that a woman can bring her own get from an obvious kal v'chomer because if, look, we're willing to accept even the women that are completely untrustworthy and they still would not be believed to say your husband died because they might want to mess her up, but they are believed to bring the get. So if she is believed for herself to say, my husband died, so for sure she should be believed to bring her own get. And from that very raya, continues, from the din of the Mokom Shabbata, what does that kal v'chomer imply about a woman who's bringing her own get? Well, since you predicated the fact that she could bring her own get on this kal v'chomer from the hostile witness, so just like in those cases, the hater, the woman who hates her, has to say b'faneinu nechtam, b'faneinu nechtam, so then you should know that she also needs to say, afitzicha lomar b'fanei nechtam, b'fanei nechtam. Now, this makes absolutely no sense according to Rabbi Yosef. What do you mean b'fanei nechtam, b'fanei nechtam? Rabbi Yosef said, we're only talking about a case where this woman who hates her brings the get in Eretz Yisrael, and she does not have to say fanai nechtam, fanai nechtam, right? So therefore, what's the Braita saying? Braita saying the way to understand the case is clearly according to Abaya's approach, that we're talking about a get that's coming from Chutz La'aretz, where she would have to say fanai nechtam, fanai nechtam, and that's the reason that we believe these women who hate her guts and would love to mess up her life, because they can't mess her up once they say b'fanai nechtav, u'b'fanai nechtam. So, that's it. Omer Ravashi, masnisa namadeika. The actual way that you words of the Mishnah express itself make it clear that Abaya is right. You don't need to go to the Braita, because it says, Ha'isha atzma mevi'a et kita u'bevaj te'tzucha lomar b'fanai nechtam b'fanai nechtam. What is that supposed to mean? I mean, she doesn't have to say b'fanai nechtam b'fanai nechtam other than the case where she's bringing it from Chutz La'aretz. So the Mishnah, obviously, I mean, what possibility is there to say the Mishnah is talking about Eretz Yisrael if it says you need b'fanai nechtam b'fanai nechtam? So obviously Abaye is right, isn't he? I mean, obviously, you could also say, well, maybe the Mishnah is talking about two different cases, and maybe the first case, which is talking about the women that bring the get, that was in Eretz Yisrael. And then it switches to Chutz La'aretz when it talks about the last part, that she could bring her own get. But isn't that sort of weird that we're going to say that we're switching in the middle? I mean, why would we do that? And it's actually even worse than that, because remember that this Mishnah is a continuation of the Mishnah that we had earlier, right? The Mishnah over there said that a woman can be a shliach for holacha, but not if she's blind, right? Why not if she's blind? Because she can't say b'fanai nechtam, b'fanai nechtam. You can't bring a shliach at all who's blind, right? Okay, so that blind person is only possible because he can't say b'fanai nechtam, b'fanai nechtam. Forget about the woman case yet, yeah? So then that means the previous Mishnah was talking about what case? Bringing a get from Chutz La'aretz. And it took it for granted. It says, you can't send a blind person. I mean, we couldn't figure what's wrong with a blind person until we realized it must be talking about bringing a get from Chutz La'aretz. The problem being b'fanai nechtam, b'fanai nechtam. So note what's happening according to Rabbi Yosef. We talk about that case. Mishnah, the first part of the Mishnah, which we had yesterday. The blind person is possible because it's a Chutz La'aretz. Then we talk about even women who hate her are believed. That's because we're talking about Eretz Yisrael. And then we talk about the last case, a woman is believed to bring her own get as long as she says, b'fanai nechtam, b'fanai nechtam. We're going back to Chutz La'aretz. I mean, this is crazy. Why in the world would Rabbi Yosef say something like that? I mean, it's always something that we try desperately to avoid, where we have mixed metaphors in cases that seem to be stood up one against the other. So how do you explain Rabbi Yosef? Reisha v'seifa b'chutz l'aretz. So the first case about the blind person, and the last case about the woman bringing her own get, that's talking about chutz l'aretz, beferish. And then the middle case was talking about the other women who are bringing the get. That's talking about in Eretz Yisrael only. Isn't that a little bit weird? Says Rabbi Yosef, well, it may be weird, but it's the truth. In, absolutely. Reisha v'seifa b'chutz l'aretz b'tzias of Eretz Yisrael. Rabbi Yosef, like, why? Why? Says Rabbi Yosef, why? Read the Mishnah and you'll see. The Mishnah explains, why do we accept these hostile witnesses when it comes to the bringing of a get? Ma ben get l'mita, shaktav mochiach. How come it says haktav mochiach? It should have said haktav v'hapeh mochiach, because it was the fact that she said b'fanai nechtav or b'fanai nechtam. I said, what are we talking about? If she had to say b'fanai nechtav, b'fanai nechtam, then that would be the point, that the ktav, together with the fact that she said it, that makes it reliable. So obviously we're not talking about her peh. There was no peh. She didn't need to say anything. And she just brings the get. Must be that we're talking about Eretz Yisrael. Okay, continuing now with the next piece in the Mishnah. Ha'isha atzma mevi'ad kita, as long as she's able to say, b'fanai nechtav or b'fanai nechtam. This makes no sense. What do you mean a woman can bring her get? A woman doesn't bring a get. A woman has a get. What is it supposed to mean, b'fanai nechtav, b'fanai nechtam? What's the din of b'fanai nechtav, b'fanai nechtam? Shlichut. A woman who shows up waving a get in court does not have to say b'fanai nechtav, b'fanai nechtam. It's absurd. So now I don't understand what the case is. Where would a woman bring her get? She has her get. Isha, michimati gita liyada yigarshua. She was divorced at the moment that the husband gave her the get, and that's it. She's not a shliach. Omer avuna, well, obviously, the Mishnah is not talking about a normal case where a husband hands a get over to his wife and says, here is your get. You're right. You have to be an idiot to think that's what we're talking about. So let's try to figure out what the case would be that would actually force a woman into saying b'fanai nechtav, b'fanai nechtam, instead of presenting her get. So obviously she wasn't given the get. That's for sure. Okay. So what was she given? Well, maybe it's talking about that he did give her the get, but he said, this get shall go into effect only when you come into the presence of such and such a bezdin. So lo titkar shiba al b'fanai bezdin pon. Says the Gemara, that doesn't help one tiny bit. Because the moment that she comes in front of that bezdin, the tnai is mikuyam, and then the get is there from then. How does that change it? How did b'fanai nechtav, b'fanai nechtam come into this? You're talking about a get with a tnai? You're telling me a get with a tnai needs b'fanai nechtam, b'fanai nechtam? I mean, maybe you have a different mesechta gittin than I have, but this is a joke. Sof sof kimat yolahatam, the moment that she brings the get there, that's it. It's overs. And she's igara shema. From the time that she got the get originally, like any tanai. This makes no sense. Oh, so I didn't explain it properly. Elomber of Unabar Manoch, Mishmeid Ravach, Breda Ravika. That actually, it's talking about a case that he tells his wife, okay, listen, I'm not giving you this get, you understand? When you arrive in Eretz Yisrael, put the get down on the ground. So, Atnach Te'ara, and then that completes your shlichut lahava'a. I am making you a shliach to bring a get to Eretz Yisrael. You arrive, put the get down. Okay? That means that this giving of the get to you now is given to you only for the purposes of being the postman. You're bringing the get there. By the way, I shouldn't have said the postman, because as we mentioned earlier, a shliach for holacha, in terms of the question of his being an actual shliach, is different, according to many poskim, as I mentioned to you, different than a postman. where a postman is not a shliach lo lacha. He's simply doing a mechanical job and does not require appointment as shlichas. So it was an unfortunate slip of the tongue, the postman, who only knocks once anyway. In this case, he says to you, stick it, put it on the ground. Now your shlichut is over. Okay, great. Now you are a woman in need of a get. Pick up the get. Shakri. And at that point, you will be megureshet. What? Get out of here, man. Then it's not a kosher get. There was no netinata get. Iyachi, what you're saying is a classic case of take your get and pick it off of the ground. That was like the classic case of explaining why that's not called vinatan. Right? There's no vinatan, the katavla sefer kritut vinatan biyada. Where's vinatan biyada? You put it on the floor and then you tell her to pick it up? That's called vinatan biyada? That's tligi tech me agabi karka. And oma rava tligi tech me agabi karka loma klum. Forget it. That's not gittin. So that's not the case either. Okay. Let's try to zero in. What could the case be? So maybe he said to his wife, I mean, you understand what our problem is. Our problem is that if he's only making her a shliach, then that's the only way that she could have to say, b'fanai nechta, correct? The problem is that we can't figure out a way in which he gives her the get, and in which giving her the get leaves her only as a shliach, because if she just puts it down, then she's never given the get. So doesn't seem to be any way for us to fix the situation over here. Either she's a shliach or she already got the get. But we can't figure out if she's a shliach, then how is she given the get in the end? That's our problem, right? Okay, so now we have a possibility. What we can do is we can say like that. Tell you what, you be a shliach lo halacha until you get to Eretz Yisrael. When you arrive in Eretz Yisrael, v'chimati tatam, you become your own shliach at this point for Kabbalah. And be mekabel the get for yourself. And I allow you to give over as my shliach my get to you or your shliach. So you be mekabel the shliach that I'm setting to your shliach, which could be you. That's fine. So then that would mean that I'm only, so what I've done is technically I've created a situation where up until the point that she comes to Eretz Yisrael, she is a shliach for holacha and therefore needs to say, b'fanai nechta, b'fanai nechta. At the moment that she already does that, she can then hand it over to what is a legal, now new, identity that she has, which is she's no longer the shliach. She is now the person or the shliach for the person, for herself, that is to say, to be mekabel the get. So what I've done is I've legally separated out the taking of the get from me because I made her a shliach and she gives herself the get. So maybe that's okay. So then I'm giving the get to you through my shliach, who coincidentally happens to be my wife, but I mean, that's a coincidence that it's my wife. So that my wife gave my wife's shliach, who coincidentally happens to be my wife, and gives her the shliach. So we have both v'natan biyada, with the interruption of the shliach that brought the get from Chutz La'aretz to Eretz Yisrael. I mean, if you want to talk about legalese, man, this is about as legalese as you can get, right? Okay. So she would still have to say, b'fanai nechtam, because she's still included in this legal, and it's not a fiction, in this legal status of being a shliach. So we've worked out our intractable problem over here. No, we haven't, says the Gemara, because there's a little knach about shlichut that you are not allowing to be enforced, and therefore this is not a kosher shlichut. Shlichut, by definition, means that the shliach is capable of standing back outside of the transaction and reporting to the mishaleach, your shlichut has been completed. If there is no moment, this Rashi understands it as follows. if there is no moment in which I can represent the shliach, then I can't be the shliach, even with this legality. So at what point can I turn around and say, I have been mekayem your shlichut? At the moment that you're saying, I have been mekayem your shlichut, you are not the shliach. You have changed your identity to being the recipient that the shliach was sent to. Well, how can the recipient say, I was mekayem your shlichut? You're a different identity. Remember, the legality works over here because shliach shel adam kamoto. But if I am no longer kamoto and I am now kamoti, because I have taken on my own identity to be the one that was mekabel, so then it's impossible for the shlichut to have closure. And a shlichut that cannot have closure is not considered to be an actual shlichut. It's a trick. This is how Rashi understands it. Tosfos understands it as a more fundamental question. There are big nafkaminas lahalacha in this. And that is, the shliach cannot change its identity to be a different shliach. It doesn't need that it should be the identity of the person to whom the shlichut was given. That's not necessary. Rashi is unnecessarily complicating matters, says Tosfos, because what she needed to do is to take on a different identity as the one who would be mekabel from that shliach. Well, she can't be both at the same time. And there's no transition in which she could say, before she became a shliach for a totally different purpose, there was no transitional moment in which she could say, I am now reporting back and I'm closing on the shlichut. Okay, this is a technicality. We're going to see more about this later. It's an arcane kind of issue that has to do with shlichut. And Tosfos actually calls it arcane and says that that's the way that we don't want to use because it's not so barur what exactly it means. And he uses the actual idea of its being arcane and lo barur as being a teretz to why it is that the Gemara doesn't use this as a fundamental description of the difference between the cases. Anyway, so the way that the Gemara puts this is a technicality, which our dear Gavi will now write, and that is, v'halo chazra shlichut etzel habaal. The idea of what is required is, Chazarat Shlichut Eitzel HaMishaleach. That is the general title of this arcane idea. And in this case, Lo Chazarat Shlichut Eitzel HaBaal, and therefore it would not be a kosher Shlichut. And if it's not a kosher Shlichut, so then the entire Mishnah breaks down. We're talking about the woman who's able to be a Shliach, Lahava'ah, who would require Bifanai Nechtav of Bifanai Nechtam. All of that requires the legal status of shlichut, which you've been unable to initiate. Okay. All right. Let me fix it up even further. So now we'll polish things up over here. Boy, the lawyers are really sitting on this one. We'll polish it up so that she is a shliach. The shlichut is chazra etzel habaal. And nonetheless, she has got to say, b'fanai nechtam, and nonetheless is capable of receiving the get. Okay, let's see your new trick. So it's like this. He says to her, you be a shliach loholacha until you get to Eretz Yisrael, to the Bezd. And then when you get there, you make somebody a shliach kabbalah. Somebody else. In your status of a woman who can make a shliach the Kabbalah. Then you actually are not going to get the get yourself. You do not therefore transmorgify into the recipient of the get, and therefore you can technically respond and say, I have been mekayim your shlichut. Then you can go and take the get from the shliach that accepted it on your behalf. And that's fine. Wait a minute. It sounds fine, says the Gemara, but it gets us into another legality. Because later on, we have a machlokas about whether, if a husband sends a get with a shliach, can the woman accept the get from that shliach through a shliach? Meaning, can she make a shliach le kabbalah if there was a shliach lahava'ah? And that's a big machlokas. So what about according to Bandi Omar, who says that a woman cannot appoint a shliach to accept the get, where the husband is not giving the get directly, but where the husband only appointed someone to give the get from a shliach? So according to that Bandi Omar, so Hanicha, it's very nice if you hold according to Bandi Omar that Anisha can make a shliach lekabel gita from the hands of the shliach of her husband. But according to the Bandi Omar, that Eina Isha Ashtah Shliach Kabo Gita Miyad Shliach Baala, then this Shlichut has got a fundamental problem. She cannot make a Shliach Kabbalah in the case that that Shliach Kabbalah will be accepting the Shlichut from a Shliach Laholacha. Baikalamema, what are you going to say then? Ha ha! Nah. You don't understand. Why do we have such a halacha? We take that out of a hat. That halacha comes from the obvious problem of a teacher who's unable to show up in class and puts a tape recorder on, tape recorder shows how old I am, but puts a recording device on the desk and is now broadcasting this year over Zoom, right? So now what happens is nobody shows up in class. They all put down their iPhones on the desks and the teacher gets furious because everybody basically was very insulting to his approach at trying to give them a shir. And look how they treat me. That's the point. I know. Yes, yes, yes. But I don't live in neighborhoods. I live all over the universe. Fine. Yes, so we actually had a case like that back in the yeshiva. Anyway. So that is infuriating. So that's the problem. The problem is that the husband who appointed this shliach l'holacha, who then does not encounter the wife, but encounters a shliach from the wife, he has no right to give the get to the shliach of the wife because he has to first ask the husband, did you mean for me to give it even to the shliach of the wife, or is she the same old witch she always was? No, I don't want to give her that get if that's the way she's treating me. Okay, so then you can't take for granted. But in this case, the husband was the one who said to do it. So there's no technical problem. There's just a psychological problem. And if the husband, Beferish, said to do that, so then there's no problem, right? So that's okay. Time am I, Mishum Deika Bizoyan de Baal. But over here, the Baal obviously is not Makbid because he said, I want you to do it this way to enable this whole little trick to work out. Oh, wait a minute, says the Gemara, but that itself is a machloket. Is the reason that a woman cannot appoint a shliach to take a get from a shliach, is it because of bizoyin the Baal? Okay, then you're right. Well, what about, according to the Baal Yomar, who says, you know why you can't do that? It has nothing to do with being insulting. It has to do with being misleading. Because it is too similar to the case of Chatzera Haba'ala Le'achar Mikan. Now, Rashi simplifies this case. Tosfos makes it a little bit more confused. Remember that we had a case where a Baal deposits a get in a friend's front yard, and then the friend transfers the front yard with a kinyan to the woman. So that is considered to be completely puzzled. That was called Chatzera Haba'ala Achar Mikan, because at the time that the Baal put it in the Chatzer was not acting as her hand, because it wasn't hers yet. And when it became her hand, the get was lying there from before. So there was never a time in which the Baal did the Venatan Biyada. So that was puzzled. Now, the problem here is that people might make the mistake of thinking that a Chatzer works as a shliach, not as a yad. And remember, we were very careful to point out the differences between shlichut and yada earlier. The eved who's asleep, remember? So we made it very clear what those differences were. Now, in this case, there is, if somebody makes that mistake, that this is the equivalent of doing that. Because if you can make a shliach to get a get from the shliach, then that would mean that you could actually use the chotzer of the guy who gives her the chotzer as a shliach to get the get from the husband who made the chotzer a shliach of getting the get, which is all ridiculous because a chotzer is not a shliach, but people might actually confuse it with that case. And therefore, if that's the reason, then we have a more profound issue, which is not going to be addressed by the fact that the husband said it's okay. Who cares? We still have a takana not to do it. So you, Mr. Husband, cannot have a situation in which you make the woman technically a shliach holacha, and then in which she's going to create a shliach for Kabbalah. Oh, gosh, I thought I had it solved. Okay, we need one little bit extra polish. The Omar law, what he said there is like this. You be a shliach holacha until you get to that best. When you get there, you make another shliach holacha. So shliach holacha, who is allowed to make an additional shliach if he can't complete the holacha, you go to Beis Din. In front of Beis Din, a shliach holacha can make a shliach holacha. Say, I have no energy to do this. I'm giving it over to somebody else. Then the Beis Din will allow that other person to be the shliach. That shliach should bring you the get, and then you'll be mekabel the get. So you don't have to have a new identity at all. And therefore, you'll be mekabel the get from him. So then you are not the one who's creating a shliach kabbalah. You do not become the equivalent of a shliach kabbalah, which means that there's a transitional point at which she could go back and assure the husband that the shliach was mekuyam, which actually enables the shlichut to be a good shlichut because it is chazra etzel habal and everything would be okay. But of course, since as a shliach loholacha, she brings it to Beis Din, at that point she has to say, b'fanai nechtam, b'fanai nechtam, right? Or I'll give you another case. Maybe the case is very similar. The husband says to her, you'll be a shliach loholacha until you get to that Beis Din. When you get there, tell the Beis Din, b'fanai nechtav, b'fanai nechtam, and then let the Beis Din deliver this get. They can make a shliach on their own, and let them give it to you. Now, what's the difference between these two cases? Tosfos suggests a fascinating issue, that the difference would be that if we know, how come, notice that when we give the Ibai Sema, we say that she says, b'fanai nechtav, b'fanai nechtam. How come it didn't mention saying b'fanai nechtav, b'fanai nechtam in the first case? How come only in the Ibai Sema? Oh, that would be the difference. Not whether she has to say b'fanai nechtav, b'fanai nechtam. Obviously she does. That's the whole point of the Mishnah. But when she says b'fanai nechtav, b'fanai nechtam. So therefore, Tosfos makes the fascinating suggestion that if the b'fanai nechtav or b'fanai nechtam is not being said as the last step of what the shliach is doing, then it's better to say it at the time of the gerushin. So since over here, if she herself is making the shliach loholacha, not the Beis Din, so that's not when the best time to say b'fanai nechtam, b'fanai nechtam is. The best time is to say it at the actual gerushin itself, in which at that ma'amad where the Beis Din is going to be accepting the get as a get because it's been given over to her, so then they also take into consideration the original b'fanai nechtam, u'b'fanai nechtam, hadrin alach hamevi get, and if you are a kapitan, you have that moment to save the ship. Ah! Now, gentlemen, I know you don't believe me about the sentience of Zoom, but did you see that the moment that Richie needed to say the Fangton, he popped up on the screen next to Doc, right? Why is that? Go ahead. You give me an alternative explanation, and I'll consider it. Okay, so we continue on to Perek Shlishi with grand excitement. Kol get shenichtav shelo l'shum isha pasul. Now, up until now, we oversimplified what the idea of lishma is. Well, we thought it's just a simple question. Is it written with her in mind or not? But turns out that there are many levels to what would be included in this idea of lishma. We're going to talk about four different cases, and each one of these cases is going to teach us a new little knitch when it comes to lishma, that each element of it has to be addressed. So let's talk about the first case. A guy is walking through Machane Yehuda, Hayaover Bashuk, and he hears in the little shul on top of Machane Yehuda, where they're having a shiur of teaching people how to be sofrim, and he hears the call of sofrim that are makrim. Makrim means they're dictating, not reading. They're dictating. Okay, write following words. Mr. So-and-so from so-and-so is Megaresh, his wife so-and-soist from such a place. The guy stands and says, what a Maisa Ashkocha. That's my name. That's my wife's name. The Lord is with me. At last, I'm being told what to do. And so he runs up to take the get. Zeshmi, Zeshem Ishti. What an amazing coincidence. That's Pasul Agarishbo. But remember that the get wasn't even written as a get. It was written as a practice document in a schoolyard, right? Okay, so that's level number one. There is no kavana l'shem gitin at all. That's case one. Yeter mikan. Now let's take a greater chiddush. Suppose a guy writes a get, which is written for the full intent and purpose of achieving gerushin. And it happens to be, he changes his mind. He just spent $100 on getting a get written. And he says, gosh, how do I get my money back? Ah, I know. Mr. So-and-so has a wife with the same name. We could always sell it to him and make some money, right? So that's exactly what he does. This time, the guy discovers, Matzo ben Irov Amarlo, what an interesting story. Shmi kishimcha v'shem ishti k'shem ishtecha. Why, my wife and I happen to have the same names as you and your wife. Let me use that get to divorce my own wife if you don't want to use it. That is not good, because it was not written for them, even though it was written for a get. So that doesn't count. Okay, now, it's posel legareshba. Let's take the next case. Yeterike, I got an even better case. A guy has two wives with the same name. Now, he finally gets sick and tired of both wives responding every time he calls their name. So he decides he wants to get rid of one of them. So he has a sofer write the get for the older wife. What the heck? I might as well hold on to the younger wife, right? So katav get legaresha tagdola, obviously makes no difference which one he wants to get rid of. He then changes his mind and decides, this teenager is out of control. I'll get rid of her and I'll keep my older wife, right? No. Well, why not? It's written for him. It's written for his wife. It's written for the same name. Ah, but it's not written for the same identity, is it? So that is yet a further issue. No good. No good. Now let's take the fourth level. Yeter mikan. I'll take it up another step. A guy goes over to a sofer and he says, look, I can't take being married to these two women with the same name. I haven't made up my mind which one of them I want to divorce. So what I'd like you to do is write the divorce for me with my name and the name of either of my wives, because they both have the same name anyway, and have in mind that whichever one I decide to use it for, that's the one for whom it's written. Now, that is called brera, right? This ex post facto description of retroactively what was meant. Now, over here, it's wide open. So we say, okay, so we have now basically just the need to fill in the guy's mind. But as far as the actual writing of it, all of it was done lishma, and it should be kosher. Nope. Even this case is posel legareshba. Okay. So let's go through it in the Gemara, as the Gemara explains what exactly the chidushim are on each level. So let's start with the second case and ask what the difference is between the second case and the first case. So the second case was where another person in town wrote a get to divorce his wife that had the same name, changed his mind, and now you want to use this get. Okay. So katav legareshet ishto v'nimlach. So what was the case? I didn't quite get the case in the resha. How was that different? Isn't that the same thing? He heard about a get being written with his name and his wife's name, but it wasn't really for them. Amrav Papa, no, it's not. It, read the Mishnah carefully, and you'll see that the first case was talking about a school classroom in which Sofrim were learning how to write a get. And it wasn't written for Gerushin at all. Omer Avashi will obviously read the Mishnah, for God's sake. You'll see that that's the point. It says Sofrim Makrinim. It says that these Sofrim are dictating. Why are they, who are they dictating to? Why aren't they just reading? It should have said, as Sofrim are Korim. And they're just saying aloud what they're writing, because they're not. They're dictating. So it's a teacher telling a classroom, okay, write this. Okay, so then it's not written for get at all. That's clear from the language. And therefore, when it says yeter mikain, so why is it, again, why is this more chashuv? Well, that's the point. Tana d'vei Rabbi Yishmael, look, lo zeh, forget about that opening case. That's a simple case where it wasn't written l'shem gerushin at all. Forget about who's gerushin. It wasn't written l'shem gerushin. So there, eino chinami. I understand. It's not l'shma. Ela avzeh. Shenichdav l'shum gerushin. This get, which was written for two other people with the same names, but at least it was written l'shem gerushin. Even this is considered to be puzzle. Now let's take a look at the next case, the third case. And not only that second case, which was not written for his own gerushin, but even in the third case where it was written for his own gerushin, but for his other wife of the same name. So you would think, okay, so at least it's av zeh shenichtav l'shum gerushin didei, maybe that would be kosher. No. Av zeh shenichtav l'shum gerushin didei is puzzle. Now let's take the fourth case. Not only this, shelo nichdav l'shum gerushin, ha, it wasn't written for the woman, but here it is written for the woman. At least it's open to being written for the woman. Av zu shenichdav l'shum gerushin, ha, is pasul. So why is it pasul in all these cases? It's clear from the pasuk. If the pasuk had said, v'natan sefer kritut biyada, instead of v'katavla sefer kritut. Okay, so I would have said, all right, it has to be a sefer kritut, means that it has to be written as a sefer kritut, and this one wasn't. And therefore, the classroom case is excluded, because it's not made l'shem kritut. But if it was written l'shem kritut, it would be okay. So if somebody else wrote a get l'gareshet ishto, changed his mind, where over there it was of it l'shem kritut, then that indeed would be kosher. Therefore, the Torah says, no. It's v'katav. That v'katav is a reference to the husband. And let's say, forget about the katav la. V'katav sefer kritut. So then that would mean that it would have to be directly, at least commissioned by the husband for the husband. Now, I understand that if it's written for him, but he has two wives of the same name, he could give it to the other one, even if it was written for the first one. So, I katav rachmana, only the katav, I would have said, that's only coming to exclude the case of it's not being written for this husband. But in the case where he had two wives, the third case, and it was written for one of them, and he wrote it, so to speak, because it's written for him, so maybe it would be kosher to give to the other wife. Therefore, it writes the Torah the word v'katav la sefer kritut. Now we have all three cases covered. It needs to be him, it needs to be her, and it needs to be a sefer kritut. So therefore, in this case where he has two wives, and he is writing it, so then I would say it would be kosher. Okay, then, so, but what's the last case telling me? You said it has to be written for her. Ah, because I would have thought this is called writing for her, because he left it open, and now all you need to do is to fill in the consciousness of looking right there into Schrodinger's box. Which one was it written for? I can tell you. I looked in and it was written for wife number two. Okay, so then maybe that means that it was at that point clear that it was written for wife number two. And therefore we need the Mishnah to tell me that Ein Breira. Now, this is a bit of a difficult thing because, I mean, to have a Mishnah that tells us openly Ein Breira is a little bit inconvenient in a lot of other sugyas. So Tosus explains that when we say over here, Kamashvalon de Ein Breira, it's not a din in Breira. It's a din in Lishma. And that makes the Mishnah so much more beautiful. It's not that we threw in the fourth case to mention some other issue. Oh, by the way, there's no Breira. No, that's not my business here. My business is discussing Lishma. And therefore, the point of the Mishnah is Breira cannot, by definition, satisfy Lishma. That's the point. Because you cannot have something in a state of uncertainty and claim that then ex post facto it becomes Lishma. It can become whatever you want, but how the heck can it become Lishma? The Lishma is a function of the consciousness at the time of the writing, says Tosfos. And the whole point of these selections of Schrodinger boxes are consciousness that's inserted later, but they're not going to change the issue of the writing. Therefore, the Mishnah is beautifully addressing a quality of Lishma and not of Breira. Mwah. Lovely. Okay, so we have three different elements of Lishma being taught, four different elements of Lishma being taught to us in the Mishnah. Now, let's take a little bit, a closer look, says the Gemara, at number three. Katav l'garishet ha-gedola, lo yigarish bo ta-ktana. Now, this bothers me, because what the Mishnah seems to be saying is, if you wrote it for one, you can't use it for another of the same name. How about using it for the one that you wrote it for? It's only because you want to use it for someone else. You're saying that's the problem. But if you want to use it for the one you intended to use it for, that is perfectly okay. So, you can't change your mind, but you could still use it for its original woman. So Hagdola came Matsumigarish by. This has massive implications, says Rava. Because if this is the case, now let's imagine a financial document that is drawn up in exactly the same way, okay? There are two people, both of whom are called Mr. Yosef Ben Shimon, and they are both living in this same town. You come along and you bring a contract to court that says, I, Yosef and Shimon, have borrowed from the bearer of this contract $1 million. Okay? So then you are coming to collect from Yosef and Shimon. You can't do that, can you? But suppose you are Yosef and Shimon. So then this Yosef Ben Shimon can come along and say, I, Yosef Ben Shimon, am now activating the lien that I have against this guy who says I borrowed money from Yosef Ben Shimon. Hello, that's me. And that's okay, apparently, because the fact is that I can use this get for the wife that I wrote it for. When she brings this get to Beis Din, they will say, okay, that's your get. And we won't say, why should we believe her? That's her get. Maybe that's her other wife's get with the same name, and it dropped from her, and she picked it up, and now she's claiming that it's her get. Well, I mean, we don't worry about that because she's in possession. The same thing is true over here. If Mr. Yosef Ben Shimon is in possession of a get, a shtar, that says that I, Joe Schmo, owe Yosef Ben Shimon $1 million, he can present that as his own contract. And we don't say, but the guy could say, what are you, crazy? I don't know who you are. You must have picked that shtar off of the ground. I borrowed $1 million from a totally different guy. He's not even here. No, you can't say that. Okay. Omar Le'Abaye, no. Your inference is definitely not supportable. Because if you think that that's supportable, then you end up learning from the Mishnah something that is definitely not supportable. Because then Elamiata, let's take a look. If in the second case, okay, the second case was that the guy says that I have the same name as you, my wife the same name as you, it says over there you're apostle, okay? That means that this guy who wants to use the get for himself is apostle. But can the original guy use the get if he didn't change his mind? Yes. And that's the same diuk that you're making on the third case, right? I'm making that diuk on the second case. You can use that get for yourself. You can't sell it to anybody else. Now, if that's the case, it's the sheni who the lomagarishba, but the original guy who commissioned the get can. But wait a minute. Can another individual sue Yosef ben Shimon by bringing a contract with Yosef ben Shimon? Obviously not, because how do we know which Yosef ben Shimon he's suing? He comes to Mr. Yosef ben Shimon A, and Mr. Yosef ben Shimon says, I never saw this guy in my life. Maybe the guy that he's talking about is Mr. Yosef ben Shimon B, who lives on the other street, because we know that there are two Yosef ben Shimons. Over here, we know there are two Yosef ben Shimons, and you're telling me that it would be okay that if that's the case, if she, the wife of that guy who commissioned the get, brings this get, we will allow her to marry on the basis of this get, and we won't say, wait a minute, there's another couple in town with the same name. How do we know that this is yours? So then the same thing is true. I'm claiming that this is Yosef ben Shimon. I could collect from whatever Yosef ben Shimon I want. Does that make sense? Why would we say such a thing? The guy wrote a contract, gave it to Mr. Yosef ben Shimon, is exactly the same as the husband who writes the get, gave it to his wife. If the wife can use that get, so then the person who lent the money should be able to use his get. And that, this Yosef ben Shimon borrowed the money. I'm saying this is the woman that got the get. And that's ridiculous, because Vahamrina, that of course is a Farish Mishnah. You cannot, neither can someone else bring a shtar against either Yosef ben Shimon, and neither can you, obviously. So therefore, the Mishnah does not mean, Rava, what you think it means. There's no inference to the shtar. Okay, but Abaya, come on, there is inference. I mean, it's how you're understanding the Mishnah. I'm understanding the Mishnah with Eidei Mesira, obviously. What happened over here is that the get would be kosher only based on the fact that there are people who were there at the moment that the get was transferred, and they said, I saw this Yosef ben Shimon give this to this Mrs. Yosef ben Shimon. Obviously, that's the case. And if that's the case, says Abaya, then you can't bring your raya to the case of somebody who comes along with a contract. Only the Eidei Mesira can make this happen. So Elamayit Lach Lameimar, it works with Eidei Mesira, and it's going Aliba de Rebbe Elazar. So then if that's the case, Achinami be Eidei Mesira, and it's going Aliba de Rebbe Elazar. Now, would this really only work according to Rebbe Elazar? Are you telling me that according to Rebbe Meir, if you had Eidei Mesira, they're useless? And they cannot testify as to which Yosef ben Shimon? Would that be true? Aha, that is a big machlokas rishonim, which we must discuss when we next get together.